my goodness. Yes, I have some old war stories about that, Kim. Yes. Well, we're out of time for today. I cannot thank you enough for joining. I enjoy the banter and the learnings from your many years of experience. And we will do this again. All right. So for those of you, this was Kim Nielsen, founder of Computer Technologies in Michigan, and sharing with us her many decades of experience. And we will definitely have Kim back on again. All right. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
This is WGTD. You are listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Mike Falkowski, a former KUSD school board member, Sammy Rangel, the life technician and executive director of Life After Hate, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School superintendent, Joe Manji. Now here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good Saturday morning, everyone. This is Joe Manji and Troy McDonald for Gateway Radio, WGTD 91.1 HD. And our program this morning is Education Matters. Each program, we have the wonderful opportunity of interviewing some really amazing people in southeastern Wisconsin. We're making a difference, lifting everyone up, and having a positive impact on the people of our respective communities, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, Lake Geneva, Delavan, Salem, even some of the Chicago suburbs. So we're really, really appreciative of bringing great people together to share their thoughts and ideas on how we can all make our respective communities better. Thank you everyone for listening to us, and thank you for the gift that you give us as an audience. We sincerely appreciate it. And thank you to Brian Albrecht of Gateway, Zena Haywood, today's guest, and Troy McDonald. Troy and I are thrilled to have with us this morning Mrs. Zena Haywood, Executive Vice President and Provost of Gateway Technical College. As Provost, Mrs. Haywood is in charge of all of the programming as well as campus operations for Gateway Technical College, 9 locations. Mrs. Haywood is truly one of our community's esteemed leaders and administrators, and we are so very happy to have you with us today, Zena. Thank you for taking time out of what must be an unbelievably difficult schedule to be with us. So, Zena, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Sure appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Manji. I'm happy to be here this morning.
Okay, so let's start out. We have, Troy and I do this with all of our interviewees, and it's a quote, and this is what it says. There have been times when you didn't have any time, and yet you took the time. There have been times when you've had enough cares of your own, and yet you cared. There have been times when you had given all that you had to give, and yet you kept on giving. So thank you for making a difference in the life of another human being. You are a gift to humanity, Zena. So thanks for being with us. So can you start off by telling us about yourself and your background, your family? Where did you grow up? All those kinds of good things.
Sure. You talked about how this segment reaches the northern Chicago suburbs. Well, I was born in Chicago, and my family moved to Michigan when I was in the middle of sixth grade. And I actually went to college by accident. I'm first generation college, and how I got to even go to college was that my calculus teacher said that I should go to college and I should go into engineering because I was so good at math. And I said, okay. I had never thought about it before, but since my great teacher, thought I should go, I thought I would go, but I didn't know anything about applying. Where do I go? So I had another teacher who shared the same thoughts with me and said, I ought to go to University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I applied. I only applied to one college. I didn't know they could turn you down. I didn't know you're supposed to apply to more than one. But I got into the, I was accepted to the University of Michigan Engineering School. And I didn't even find out where Ann Arbor was until the week before orientation. I lived in Niles, Michigan, which is a little small town near South Bend, Indiana. And so when I found out, when I got to college, I did study chemical engineering for 2 years. And then that summer after my sophomore year, I took a psychology class and fell in love with psychology. And so I switched my major to psychology. And so actually my higher education career started as a work study student. And so I really participated in all they had to offer at the college, including work study. And I started working there in my sophomore year. I didn't get financial aid as a freshman, and I couldn't figure that out because my mother was a widow. She had five kids, and I couldn't figure that out. So when I did get work study my sophomore year, I said, I'm going to work in that financial aid office because they really don't know what they're doing because I should have gotten financial aid. So I ended up working there, and that's really how I started my career in higher education, was as a work study student in the financial aid office. And then I got various promotions while I was there. How I came to Gateway is I had just finished my master's degree, master's in public administration at Oakland University. And I really wanted to be a financial aid director at that point. I had been a counselor. I had overseen student loans and scholarships, but I really wanted to be a director. And I applied for three jobs and I actually got all three. And so I had to figure out which one to take. One was Dartmouth, and my husband said, no, we're not moving to New Hampshire. So that one was out. So then I had another Midwestern university where I applied to be financial aid director, and I got the job, and I had one of my most profound discrimination things that happened. The vice president that interviewed me actually said they didn't think the university was ready for a person of color. And so I decided not to take that one, but it really didn't matter about that happening because Gateway was the third place that I had interviewed, and just the people and the atmosphere and the mission and vision of the college is really what drew me here. And I thought, you know, I would be here for about 3 years. That was in 1993, and then I'd go back, you know, to the university. But now I'm here 28 years later. And it's really because the mission and vision of the college and of the Wisconsin Technical College system really match my values as a human being and as a person. And so that's why I'm still here today since August 16, 1993.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for giving Bradford High School your husband, Todd. Todd, as you know, Todd and I worked together at Bradford for 93 until 2005. We had great, great discussions about life and philosophy and everything.
I like to say that I'm the wife of Mr. Haywood, because everywhere we go, somebody there knows Mr. Haywood. Either they had him in a class, or they knew who he was, or they had family that had him. And like you said, he's been an English teacher at Bradford since 93. And actually, Mr. Mangi is the one hired him for full time. When we first got here, he was a sub for one semester, and Mr. Mangi hired him after that one semester full time, and he's been at Bradford ever since. And we've been married for 38 years. We have two grown children. We have a daughter and a son-in-law in Maryland, and then our son lives here in Kenosha, and we also have a 10-year-old grandson.
Oh, congratulations, Zena. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Todd was always flaunting his Michigan hat at Bradford. So tell us how you two met. I'm guessing it was at Michigan.
Absolutely. We met in college, and actually through sorority and fraternity. I'm a member of Zeta Phi Beta sorority, and I was a sorority member before he was pledging Phi Beta Sigma, which is our brother fraternity. And so that's actually how we met at Michigan.
Okay. So you're a provost an executive vice president. I know you must have unbelievable challenges. So not everybody knows what a provost does. Can you share what are your duties and responsibilities at Gateway?
Yes, I serve as the chief academic officer of 45 applied associate degrees, 33 technical diplomas, and 85 certificates. I oversee the day-to-day campus operations through campus deans who I supervise that really monitor campus needs and serve as what most know as dean of students that address student issues on the campuses. I also oversee institutional effectiveness, which includes institutional research, employee learning, institutional quality, student support, like the libraries, tutoring, testing, veterans, also student life department and multicultural program. The college as a whole, we serve about 20,000 students a year, and we run classes year round. We have three 14-week semesters. We're governed by a 9-member board of trustees that's appointed by the Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth County board chairs. And we also are governed by the Wisconsin Technical College System Board. And so of all that I oversee, one of the biggest challenges, and I'll just jump right into that after hearing all that is entailed in the position. But when you think about all of that entails, really one of the biggest challenges, and I laugh about this, is really when to call a snow day. Because some people will say, I really need to teach that, I really need that class. And then there's others, thank you for doing it. So you just can't win in that kind of thing. But I laugh about it, but it really is one of the biggest challenges. But recently, of course, making decisions around related to the pandemic has been one of the most challenging, but one of the most rewarding too, because of Gateway's response to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So things, questions like, do we move to virtual? How do we do that? When do we move back face-to-face? So those questions and decisions are still being made almost on a daily basis. How do we communicate with employees and students, especially since everyone's virtual now, and actually trying to create messages that relate to each respective group, because you have to address students in a certain way and talk about specific things. And when you're talking to faculty and staff, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. Just this Monday, 2 days ago, I sent out an email regarding the new Delta variant and what our response was going to be to the changes happening at the CDC and the new recommendations that are out there. Another challenge has been providing adequate support and professional development to the faculty, mm-hmm. with the changes that we had to make in instruction to keep going and to make sure that staff and students have the equipment they need to work and learn virtually. So we had to do a lot of dispensing equipment, and also challenges in this position are really trying to balance the day-to-day things that need to happen with the new and the recent initiatives that we're trying to implement to improve what we do. But again, it can't be done without outstanding vice president. All of my colleagues are wonderful to work with. Mm-hmm. We have great deans, faculty, and staff.
So, Zena, can you share with us, what is Gateway's current status right now? Are all the students virtual? Is there some in-school learning, or is it hybrid? What is it?
Well, we've actually always been open to a certain extent. Even during the shutdown, we transitioned to virtual and extended our spring 2020 semester. So once the shutdown ended, students could come back on campus and finish any hands-on labs that they had to do so they could gain those competencies that they missed from the shutdown. Mm-hmm. But during the 2021 year, which we just ended, we had more online courses than traditional face-to-face. So some labs, a lot of our labs went to some type of virtual type mm-hmm. of experience, but they still had to have the hands-on to be able to have that experience. But beginning summer 2021, the semester we're in right now, we have more face-to-face classes than we did last year. In fall, the coming fall, will have even more. So we've been delivering online instruction for many years, and it's traditional online instruction where the companies and assignments are out there. There's discussion boards and students turn those assignments based on deadlines. So we've been doing that for many years. In fact, the year prior to the pandemic, about 35% of our offerings were actually online. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing it for a long time. But what has changed during the pandemic is we've actually added two new methods of course delivery that weren't widespread at our college. And that's synchronous online delivery going through via Zoom. Everybody's kind of heard of Zoom. That's the platform that we use. And also we've added hybrid. Our engineering faculty use this method, but it's now more widespread across some other programs where the instructor teaches in the classroom with students, and also students are online via Zoom at the same time. Okay. It's a little harder for instruction, and I have to applaud our faculty that are rising to the challenge of offering that hybrid instruction. I might have some bias, of course, but I feel that Gateway managed the challenges of the pandemic very well. Like I said, we were able to be open when the shutdown first happened. We shut down for 3 days, no instruction, no one, you know, on campus, or they were, people were gathering materials and equipment that they needed to work from home. And so that gave faculty and staff time to regroup, but not have the students lose their momentum. So we didn't want to be shut down for too long. Gradually we moved to more face-to-face classes, like I said. We've also provided student services online, like advising, student support services online. We had online tutoring, as well as other college functions were done virtually. And the student support services and student services, even though we're going to be more back on campus this fall, we're still going to offer that online option for our students. We distributed laptops, Chromebooks, hotspots, to students that requested them at no charge. And we also shipped textbooks to our students at no charge, so they would not have to come to campus to pick up their textbooks. What else? I'm sure you've heard about the federal relief funding that's yeah. out there. There's a higher ed emergency relief fund. So we've received some of those funds, and we've disperse them directly to students in the form of emergency grants and relieving some of the debt that they may have at the college. So through student emergency grants awarded directly to eligible students, we awarded this past year over $3 million to about 2,200 students. And then also for debt relief, about a little over 1,000 students received over $667,000 in debt relief. So we definitely believe this support will allow students to continue their education, which was a very important priority for us. And actually degree completion is also a top priority for us. So none of this would have been possible without the, of course, the federal funding and the many hours of work and effort that our staff have put in, and we're very glad and proud of our response to the pandemic. We've done lots with communication. I said that earlier, it's been kind of different, and we're moving to doing more videos. Our president now does a weekly Friday video, and also I've done some videos to staff and students talking about what our plans are for the future and what they can expect. And again, I'm just very proud of how we responded. We've always known that we were nimble and we were responsive to the needs of our community, but we didn't know we could accomplish what we have over the last 18 months. And so I've learned a lot, even after being here so many years. And like I said, we're maintaining some of those delivery methods. As far as what we're doing now, we are mask friendly, social distance friendly. Masks are optional right now for individuals that have been vaccinated, but it's mandatory for those who have not. Of course, we're on the honor system for that. We provide masks, hand sanitizer, and even in classrooms, we supply cleaning supplies in each classroom. Faculty and students can help by wiping things down when they arrive and when they leave their classrooms.
We have to take a commercial break, Zena. Troy is flashing on the screen. So everybody, this is Joe Manji, Troy McDonald, and Zena Haywood, Provost and Vice President at Gateway. And this is WGTD Radio, Saturday morning, Education Matters. And we're thrilled to have Ms. Zena Haywood with us this morning. So Zena, you said masks were optional and everybody's on the honor system. Mm-hmm. Regarding the vaccines, your nursing department, which is a tremendously awesome department, can they give out vaccines? Are vaccines available anywhere on the campus?
We do have some pop-up vaccination spots on our campus, and we've also had our students volunteer with the health departments, and they have been a part of vaccination clinics around our area. So yes, our nursing students have been doing that. Our fab lab has actually fabricated masks and had those distributed out. So we've been doing a lot to help out in the pandemic.
I had no idea, I don't think anybody did, that you were helping students relieve debt with the grant money from the government, over $3 million. Can you talk to us about that? Students must be overjoyed, I would think. What are your experiences?
Yes, we had, there were some criteria that the federal government said who we could give it to, but it was pretty broad. And so what we did is we came up with announcement of the funds. We had a little short application. They could tell us what's happening in their lives. Have they lost their jobs? What kind of needs that they have? And so then we figured out, to get the biggest bang for the buck, how much we could give out per student. And so students apply for those emergency relief funds, and we gave them out. Mm-hmm. We also had, that was for just the emergency, for they could use the money for whatever they needed. For the debt relief, we looked at the average debt of our students that had some debt with Gateway. And we now know that some of those students after that debt relief are coming back to the college.
So I think that's amazing. So let's talk about scholarships. So let's say I just graduated from high school in Kenosha and Racine, and my family is really struggling and I don't think I can afford college. Is there anything for me? What kind of scholarships opportunities are there? Would Gateway take me on? If I'm struggling financially, how does that work?
There are absolutely scholarships available. We participate in all the federal financial aid. There's state financial aid that students can receive. And our foundation also offers many, many scholarships for students. Some are based on program area and some other criteria. But we also have the Gateway Promise Program. And that Promise Program is for students right out of high school. It's really geared toward low-income students who want to come to Gateway. And all you have to have is a 2.0 grade point average to be able to receive, be a Promise Scholar. Mm-hmm. And you will receive free tuition for 6 semesters or 3 years so you can complete your degree tuition free. And that program was so successful, and this, we're starting our fifth cohort of Gateway Promise students this fall, that we started just this past spring, 2021, we started our first, what we call Promise to Finish program, where students who have at least 12 credits, but they dropped out of school for some reason, and they've been out for at least 2 years and they wanna come back. We have a program now for those students that's tuition free, that they can come back to Gateway and we will pay for the tuition. They have to apply for financial aid. Of course, that's first. And then we apply any remaining funds to help them pay their tuition. So there's lots of programs out there for students that are right out of high school. A more, even more recent one that's just going to start this fall, and our fall semester starts August 30th. So if you haven't registered, go out there and register. But this program actually is sponsored through SC Johnson Corporation. They've awarded the college over $5 million to help students who are interested in the STEM fields, that's science, technology, engineering, and math. And it's geared toward women and students of color who are interested in STEM fields. Mm-hmm. So they have to be right out of high school. They have to agree to actually a four-year education. So how it works is for the first 2 years at Gateway, they get $7,500 per year to pay for tuition, books, whatever they need for 2 years. And then for the next 2 years, we've partnered with three of our four-year university partners, and students have to enroll in we have six different options in STEM fields at Gateway. They complete those programs at Gateway. They not only get the money at Gateway, but when they go to the 4 year, they still get $7,500 per year. Plus our partners have agreed to give them additional $7,500 a year, which is $15,000 a year for their last 2 years of getting their baccalaureate degree. So there are very, very good options for students right out of high school.
So if I am a student and I didn't finish my high school diploma because of a whole host of reasons, will it may take me?
Yes, we will. That's one of the values and principles that our mission at Gateway is based on, is that we take students wherever they are and get them to where they want to be. So even if you are an English language learner, English is not your first language. Mm-hmm. We can teach you English and then get you into the program that you want. If you haven't finished your high school diploma, we have a GED program. We have a HSED program, which is a high school equivalency diploma. So we have those two options for students who want to finish their high school diploma.
What if I'm an adult, senior citizen or adult, and I'm kind of stuck and I really want to go back to school? Are there programs for me at Gateway to sign up for?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, you're eligible to take any of our programs. So we have students ranging from 16 to 70. So you're eligible for any of our programs. And senior citizens actually can audit any of our courses for free. So if you're interested in that, you can certainly check that out.
Who do we call?
We call our toll-free number, and I'll have to get that for you because I don't remember it off the top of my head. But if you Google Gateway, you'll see our toll-free number, and they can give you information about that.
Okay. So, excuse me. I always have felt, being a principal in Kenosha and a superintendent for a long time, that Gateway has always led the way in terms of multicultural and diversity and cultural competency. The Martin Luther King Day on that Saturday or Monday in January, Martin Luther King's birthday at the Modrogano Auditorium, is simply amazing. I think it's the only endeavor throughout the year that brings such a diverse group of community members together in unison to support the ideals of Dr. King and Kindness Week. So can you expand on that, Zena? You guys have done just an outstanding job. What are the plans? What are the goals? What are the initiatives with Kenosha suffering from racial inequities and a lack of justice? So many issues. And as a community, I think we're siloed. So how does Gateway overcome that? What do you guys bring to the table?
Well, that is a very good question. And diversity, equity, inclusion have always been a part of Gateway. In fact, our number one value that our board has put out is respecting diverse thoughts, opinions, and people. And so it has always been a part of that. And the King Celebration was started 28 years ago by Dr. Castle Lawson, who used to be, who was vice president of the Kenosha campus at that time. And he's has passed on now, but we're still proceeding with offering that program. And I've been leading that for at least 12 years or so. And it's really planned by not just Gateway, but we have community members also in the committee that plans each year's event. Mm-hmm. And so building on that, we've added our day of service. We've added other forums that come that we've scheduled for after the King Day celebration, so we can talk about different issues around our community. But this year, with all after all of the unrest, we decided that we have to, what we can do is provide a forum for discussing those issues. And so, starting in January of this year, we started holding community events. And we called the series of discussions communicating respectfully in a diverse world. And mm-hmm. so these community workshops, we posted information, anybody could sign up in our community. And again, we've been doing them since January. And some of the topics for the workshops have been, ouch, that stereotype hurts, to give people tools to respond when you hear something. Not necessarily even something negative towards you. You could hear it towards someone else, and it gives you the tools of what to say to let people know that you're aware of what's happening and to help in those situations. Another workshop was, what should I say? And it was from a generational perspective, because the way young people think is very different from you and I, Joe, who were here in the 60s and right. Have a very different response. So how do you talk to your grandchild and discuss those issues? Another workshop we had was managing self in the midst of social uncertainty. Wow. And of course, we talked about the things that were happening in our very own community and how do we address those issues. We also offered a couple of sessions at different perspectives, which is called civil dialogue. And it gave you tools to be able to share your viewpoints, listening to other viewpoints, and how do you facilitate a conversation around those topics. Most recently, we actually sponsored a program called Fair and Impartial Policing. Mm, and we sponsored okay. this program for all of our municipal and county police departments. And part of that series was a program called Command and Community, where police chiefs and community leaders came together and talked about how we work together. And some of the topics where we learned about assessments and reform with police policy and how that happens and what should we do, and talked about recruiting and hiring police officers, what training do they get, and how does this happen? And all of this program is actually now incorporated into Gateway's Police Academy. So all of the new recruits that come through our Police Academy also are trained in this Fair and Impartial Policing program. So it's very important to us, and we want to be a part of the solution for this issue.
I think that's wonderful. Is it possible, Zena, maybe you're doing it already, to take the tools, the things that you guys are sharing in the workshops, and put them in the Kenosha News on a weekly basis, or put them online where people can read about them and learn? Because everybody needs cultural competency. Everybody needs all of the things that you mentioned. Everybody needs tools. So what do you think? Do you guys do that already, or can yeah.
That's a great idea. We made the decision when we were putting the workshops together not to record them, so people could speak freely and not, you know, have that, you know, out there in the cyberspace, you know, of what they said. But we certainly could put together some other tips and tools and talk about how to use them and give a framework for the discussion in each of those areas and put that online. That's a great idea. I'll go back and work on that.
Okay. One other idea. I've always felt that Dr. King's Day shouldn't be just one day a year. Mm-hmm. It should be every day in the year. And the Kindness Week that Reverend Olin Arrington of Kenosha started, mm-hmm. It shouldn't be one week a year. It's very special that it is every week of the year. So one of Dr. King's famous quotes was, "Even if the world were to end tomorrow, I would still plant my apple tree. Is there a possibility the colleges and universities and schools and Johnson Wax, that everybody could plant an apple tree to signify Dr. King and his work? I mean, can you think, I envision a community of, you know, 1,000 apple trees everywhere, and everybody would understand. I don't know, something that's a symbolic, that's visible on a daily basis. What do you think?
We could do something like that. I don't see why, can't think of any reason why we couldn't. I think we would be, can't speak for my other higher ed partners about this, but I'd like to see us do something even more significant. I'm not sure what that would be, but certainly we could put our heads together and figure out what that would be. But I don't see why that would be something that we couldn't do.
Maybe we, with, as Peace Learning Circles, we call ourselves ideas collectors. So when we get together, we brainstorm and collect ideas, even if they're crazy. Mm-hmm. But out of, you know, 15 ideas, we may come up with three. Okay, let's give it a try. So maybe Gateway could sponsor an ideas collecting forum of how we can celebrate Dr. King and the words of Maya Angelou. You know, people will forget what we said, people will forget what we did, but no one will ever forget how you made me feel. So
true.
Yeah. So Gateway.
That's what we get mostly from the King program that we do annually. As people said, it just, it made you think, and the program, which is what we want to happen, and start thinking about how we as individuals can affect change in our community. And so they talk about the good feeling that they have when they, after mm-hmm. they leave that program.
Can you share some of the things you're most proud of with Gateway? I mean, Gateway is awesome, and you've been doing awesome work. What are you really, really, and truly proud of?
There's just so much to be proud of. I think one of the things that I'm proud of, I was asked not too long ago, what would I want my legacy to be when I retire from Gateway? And I hadn't thought about that. And so I really started to give that some thought and think about the things that have happened. I think the thing that gives me the most satisfaction is actually graduation. Okay. And I know you've been to many, Mr. Yeah. Banty, to see, you know, when you see those students who didn't know they could go to college, who maybe have started out in remedial classes, and now they've got their degree, and they're just so happy. In fact, our GED graduation probably is the most moving graduation that we have. Mm-hmm. Because those people are so excited about getting that high school diploma. And this year's event, our graduation, of course, we were still in the middle of COVID. So we actually, instead of having two graduations, one for our technical diplomas and associate degrees, and then one for our GED and high school graduation, this year we had 5 ceremonies, and we did it outside, and it was just fabulous. And people came out and they honked their horns, and the students went across the stage. It's just amazing. And it's really, I'm proud of all the success stories that I hear from students and our faculty. In fact, the student speaker for our School of Business and Transportation graduation actually got his degree in business management. He was 17 years old. And he got his degree through the dual credit program that we have at Gateway. And mm-hmm. he was getting an associate's degree. And 2 weeks later, he was getting his high school diploma. Wow. So those kinds of things mm-hmm. are just give me chills. Mm-hmm. And to think about the impact that we can have on lives. And I'm really proud of the Gateway Promise program that I was helped to lead that implementation of that program, the Promise to Finish, which I talked about. Another thing I'm really proud of is the way we're able to incorporate and develop an international education program.
Yes.
So since for the last 9 years, our students have been studying abroad in countries, in about 25 countries now, in Africa, South America, even Iceland, Europe. So we've had China, we've had students have those kinds of life-changing experiences. We've had students who had never been on a plane before go study abroad. We've had students who had never left the state of Wisconsin except for Chicago and experience education in other countries. And also just, you know, helping to create one gateway. And I have to credit Dr. Albrecht, our president, for all of his efforts to bring Gateway together as one institution. And being able to, my mantra is, and everyone will tell you, is retention. And so we've been able to focus on retention. Recruitment is great and we have to do that to get new students in. But if you get them in and they leave the next semester, what's the benefit? So it's about retention and completion. And another, I guess the most, one of the most recent things is, you know, helping to start the SCJ STEM Scholars Program. But also we created a Gateway to Success course, which we've run now for the, we had just finished our first year. It's a first year experience course that's one credit that really helps students who don't understand what higher education is, don't know what to expect as now a college student, to help them get better oriented and understand what it means to be a college student. And in that course, we also introduce diversity, equity, inclusion. We help students understand what their strengths are through the Clifton Strengths Finder survey. And so it's just a lot to think about what I'm proud of.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left, Zena. You've been awesome. This is Joe Manji and Troy McDonald and Zena Haywood for Gateway Radio. And Zena, what would you like to leave us with the last 2 minutes? I mean, this is a learning experience for me. I thought I knew a lot about it, but I guess not. Wow, let me go to Iceland. I'll sign up. Okay, last 2 minutes. What would you like to finish up with?
Just that, you know, I think Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz said it best, that if you ever want to follow your heart's desire, it's in your own backyard. And I think that's what Gateway truly is for our community. We're really a world-class institution. And again, I have to commend Dr. Albrecht for bringing Gateway together, as well as creating that sense of the need for business and industry partnerships and making us a national, international, renowned institution. And so we've served the Southeast Wisconsin community for 110 years, and we're gonna keep doing it. We're continuously improving to serve you at one of our 9 locations and online. And our vision is that we make educational opportunities a reality. And that's really what we're about. So go Red Hawks, and thank you for having me on the show, Mr. Manji.
Well, I think we have 1 minute left. So, wow, it's just amazing. So let's finish up. Zena, what about you? Where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years? What are your goals and aspirations? Or do you have 27 more years left in you? Or
I'm sorry, I can't say that I do. So 3 to 5 years, I want to be able to enjoy my retirement. My grandson is getting older, and I want to be a part of more of those formative years. In fact, we're going to Disney next week. So that's 3 to 5 years. I probably will be retired, but I hope to be able to leave the college in a way that the next provost is able to have a smooth transition.
Oh, okay. So this is Zena Haywood, who is the Executive Vice President and Provost of Gateway Technical College, and Troy McDonald and Joe Manji, and we've been sharing. Zena, thank you so much for being with us today. I know you're extremely busy. You said 20,000 students, is that
what
you said? 9 locations. So did Brian Albrecht give you a jet? Do you fly?
No, but he's allowed me to be very creative.
Okay. Well, thank you to everybody for listening in. We surely appreciate it. This has been wonderful. Zena, thank you. Thank you so much. Hi to Todd. If we have 30 seconds left, your hats. You're famous for your hats. How did that start?
That started with my grandmother, and she grew up old school, that a woman was not dressed and she unless she had her hat on, and most of the time she had her gloves on too. And so that's really where I got it from, and we are very faith-based family, and so you went to church, you had your hat on, and so I just fell in love with wearing them.